So this morning, the lesson I was given was taking the hard road, lessons learned from the apostles. Now, this class is more than my class. It's your class. Make it your class. I'm willing to learn something. I got my notepad up here. I'm ready to rock and roll, so I don't know it all. So feel free to raise your hand, comments, everything like that. And I promise you we're going to be all right. This is my first lesson teaching Bible class ever. So we're going to see how it goes. Y'all don't rough me up too much, but we're going to see how it goes. So the lesson text that I was given will be coming from Matthew chapter 10. They said 16 through 23, but I went back and started with verse 1. So that's Matthew chapter 10, and we'll start at verse 1. And we'll try to make our way through verses 23. If you're putting in your notes, you can cross-reference the same message, Mark 13, 9 through 13, and also Luke 21, 12 through 17. And in Matthew chapter 10, we'll start with verses 1, and it reads, "And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease." Now I want us to focus on that word called. Jesus called his 12 disciples. That must have been a great blessing for them and a great honor for them to be called by Jesus Christ himself. Now this morning, as Christians, we're called Christians for a reason, because we chose to put on Christ. We chose to make him our Lord of Lords and King of Kings. So whenever we're called Christians, we need to be identified and we need to follow as Christians. We're identified as Christians because we wear his name. If you've been baptized in the water grave of baptism, you've been called out of something. You've been called out, and we're going to look at a few things that you've been called out of. If I can get some readers, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 10, and then 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. That's 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 10, and then that's 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. And let's see what we are called out of.
1 Peter chapter 2, 4 through 10?
Yes, sir.
Chosen of God and precious. He also is living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices accepted or acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. But to you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. The stone, the stumbling of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient. Whereunto also they are appointed. But ye are the chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not of people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy."
Thank you. So that word called out, I really want to focus on that word called out, because we're no longer part of this world. We're no longer in the world. We're living in the world, but we're not of the world. And we need to make that known. We have some Christian nowadays that want to straddle the fence. You can't straddle the fence. We can't have a part-time Christian. We need full-time Christians. I heard on a radio station, and it made sense. Whenever you're a part-time Christian, you get part-time Christian pay. Whenever you're a full-time Christian, you get all the benefits. As you know, working part-time, you don't get the full benefits as a full-time worker. Well, that goes for the same for the body of Christ. If you're a full-time Christian, then you get the full-time benefits. Let's not forget where we come from. And then who has 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11?
Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God.
But such were some of you. We're no longer living that lifestyle. We're putting our best foot forward each and every day. Now, as a congregation, we're identified as the Church of Christ, meaning that we only listen to this book and this book only. In the world, they listen to everything else they want to listen to. Yes, sir.
We don't have to live like the thieves, the covetous, the drunkards, all of them. We don't have to live that life.
That's a good point.
So it's our choice. God gives us that option to do what's right or what's wrong.
Yes, sir. He does give us free will. Go ahead, brother.
And you also see a contrast here in verse 9 where it says that those that are outside of the kingdom of God are those that are doing these things.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can't be in the kingdom of God doing these things.
That's a good point. And we're going to talk about that here in a few. We're definitely going to talk about that here in a few. So we are, like I said, we are identified as the Church of Christ, meaning that we only listen to this book and this book only. Now, if you're going to be identified as a Christian, be a Christian. Let's be a Christian today, tomorrow, for the rest of our lives. We're going to be a Christian. Now, we can't be like the world and try to change up what we try to be. We can't be like the world and we can't try to add stuff in there. For an example, have you ever heard of a Baptist Christian? Some of the world claim that they're Baptist Christians. And I was trying to do some research from Genesis through Revelation, and I couldn't find not one thing about being a Baptist Christian. I couldn't find it because I don't think it's in there. Or what about a Catholic Christian? They try to throw that word in there. But they got Catholic mentality. But then they try to put that word Christian on the end to make it sound great. Now, I know I'm fixing to step on some toes. I'm not really into politicians, politics. But we got somebody running for president that now she's black. She's a black woman. But before she was in California Senate, she was notified as an Indian woman. But now she's changed to a black woman. I don't know if we hunt. I don't know if we're trying to get votes or what, but that's where we're at now. But if you are identified as something, be that. Don't try to change it up. Don't try to please the world, because guess what? It ain't happening. And I'm still waiting on my mom to call me back because we got a debate coming. We're going to have a big debate. It's going to be on. I know we got to respect mothers, and we're going to have us a debate coming because we got to talk about some things. She called me at 11 o'clock at night trying to talk about this. I said, no, I'm going to bed. We'll talk about this another day. So if I don't come back next Sunday, I do got to go down there this week. So if I don't come back, y'all know what happened. I done got roughed up. No, I don't believe we all got, as long as only you God's children, as long as you've been baptized into the Church of Christ. That's God's children. And that's what the world see it. That's what the world sees. But as Christians, we know.
That's the deceiver.
Mm-hmm.
He deceives the people.
Yep.
Into believing.
Yes, sir.
To accept.
Yeah. And a lot of people believe it and accept it, trust me. Because when you got a Catholic throwing a Christian name on the back end of their religion, that's not okay. That's not okay. And we can't, as Christians, get down like that. Now, if you're a female from birth, you're a female through the rest of your life. There ain't no changing trying to be a male when you're 4 years old. Don't work that way. If you're a male trying to go to a female, it don't work that way. God in the beginning made everything, and he labeled it as being called good. We have no right to change anything that God has made good. He didn't have to make it great. He just made it good. And his good is good enough for us. Let us remember that. So now we're going to take a look at 5 through 15. And if you're putting notes in your, I like to do like call like chapter headings. So I know, and I have labeled verses 1 through 5, I have as labeled as the calling or the roll call. Because of course he's calling the disciples. And then from 5 through 15, that's going to be the job. So we're going to learn what the disciples are supposed to go do. And it reads in verses 5. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Which that sounds familiar if you look back at Matthew chapter 3 and verses 2. John the Baptist spoke that same language. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor copper in your money belts, nor bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor staffs. For a worker is worthy of his food. Now whatever city or town you enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and stay there till you go out. And when you go into a household, greet it. If the household is worthy, let your peace be upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whoever will not receive you nor hear your words, when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Do not get discouraged when people do not listen to you. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting God. We go on to the next house and we continue to move on. But surely I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. So I label that as the job. That's the job that they were sent out to do. Now our lesson text or our main focus will be verses 16 through 23. And I have in my Bible, that's going to be the cost. Some of yours might say persecutions are coming, which that's going to be the cost. That's what they signed up for. And that's what we sign up for today as well. So we'll look at verses 16. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. I want to study that word or that phrase, sheep in the midst of wolves. Now we're Christians, we're all out in the world, and you can see it all around us, how people are trying to take what we have. They're trying to destroy what we have. Satan is always trying to get us off track. But let us not be discouraged with that. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and it reminds me of 1 Samuel chapter 8, okay, where the people are demanding to have a king over them, like the nations around about them. Mm-hmm. And God tells, because Samuel prays to God, and he says, heed the voice of the people and all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me that I should reign over them. It's not. We can't take things personally when people will not receive the truth, when they won't receive the word. What we have to understand is they're rejecting God and his will for them. And that's all I wanted to point out.
That's right. I know sometimes we get frustrated because we're like, you're reading it for yourself. I'm showing you what the Bible says. But then yet and still, they still don't want to budge. I'm like, okay, washing my hands, moving on. But that's a good point. Thank you, Brother Royce. But let's look at that word sheep, which I didn't realize that sheep is mentioned more than 500 times in the Bible. It's mentioned more than any other animal in the Bible. Now, that animal was important for the Hebrews and also for other peoples in the Bible. Now, the sheep are also used throughout the Bible symbolically and refers to God's people. Now, sheep are used in a flock, and they would have a shepherd to oversee them. And that sounds familiar to the body of Christ. We have flocks. We have shepherds that watch over us, and we have four great ones at this congregation. Now, when the sheep are being taken care of by the shepherd, it's hard for a wolf to try to get the sheep. Can you imagine a field and you got shepherds around watching the flock, seeing, making sure that all the sheep are safe? How confident do you think those sheep can be to eat and not have to worry about anything? How confident do you think they can be? Now, I'm not sure if sheep sleep. I don't know if any animals sleep. Well, some of them do. Dogs sleep, but I don't know about animals like that in the field. Some of them might do. I don't know. I'm not an animal person. But they might sleep. How confident would you think if they could just sleep? How confident do you think they would be if they have shepherds watching over them? I think they'll feel pretty confident. Well, that goes for the same as Christians. You know, we have elders. They're overseers of the body. They're not going to allow a wolf to come in. I can tell you that right now. They're going to spot that thing out and get rid of it quick, fast, in a hurry. Guarantee you at 9th of May. Now, other congregations, I can't speak for other congregations. I'm not there. But I worship at 9th of May Church of Christ. Yes, sir.
There's two components to that. The responsibility of the eldership to be involved in the congregation's lives outside of the four walls of this building.
Mm-hmm.
To know a little bit, that requires communication. The second part of that is just knowing as much information as possible. Sometimes, though, there's that principle of the wolves creeping in unawares.
Mm-hmm.
Paul brings that up in Acts chapter 20, and sometimes that gets us. But that's when you can't be idle. You've got to go on the chase and ward off all the problems. And it takes effort, but again, it requires a proactive approach, very proactive desire. I think that's interesting when it comes to the eldership and qualifications. You have to desire this, and that implies the right motive, the right kind of desire. So it's just something to think about there. That's an experience I know we face here. We try not to get caught unawares, but sometimes things happen. But then we have to go into action.
Mm-hmm. Get rid of that thing. And just to piggyback on what he was saying, it's important that the sheep stay with the flock. And how do the sheep stay with the flock? Well, we continue to be a Christian. But the moment we allow sin to come into our life, then we're separated from the flock. And what happens when there's an animal that's by themselves? Is it easy to be devoured? Very easy. You know, I watch Discovery Channel and National Geographic, and I see whenever the lion is laying and there's a whole field of wildebeest, and there might be one wildebeest wandering around over there. The lion ain't going for the herd. He's going for that one because it's easier to attack. Well, same way as it is being a Christian. When you're part of the flock, you're part of the herd, you're in there, you're working, you're part of a flock. But the moment that you allow sin to come into your life, now you're alone. You have no shepherd to watch over you. So now the devil can eat you alive and spit you out. Yes, sir. Yeah, that is right.
Don't be that sheep out there all by yourself. Stay with the flock.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Now, as Christians, now we're going to have to prepare ourselves. Someone has something? Courtney, I'm sorry, but go ahead.
Look, you're describing opportunistic feeder. So when I think of an opportunistic feeder, the Bible teaches that Satan's a roaring lion.
Mm-hmm.
And he's seeking all whom he may devour.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting that when Jesus was tempted, Satan went away until the next opportune time to get another opportunity. He's always seeking that opportunity with us. The Bible says, give no opportunity for the enemy to speak reproachfully or to mislead us. And so the only way that we can, as sheep, combat ourselves against the more power atmosphere, such as opportunistic Peter, Satan, and his wolves, mm-hmm. is to stick close to the voice of the chief shepherd. Mm-hmm. And also, in turn, be extra cautious to trust the voices of our shepherds in an earthly sense, that they too are heeding the words of the chief shepherd, not their own.
That's right. And
because he did say, as Brother Raswell said, that there will be wolves rising up from among yourselves. He was talking about the elders.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've seen that.
For sure. And I was taught as a young boy, whenever I come to services, bring my Bible. Bring your Bible. The reason why is because everything that come out this pulpit needs to be double checked. It needs to be double checked. And at my congregation back home, every Sunday morning, the preacher would say, okay, Bible check, hold up your Bible. And he would be out there searching. Now, some of the youth will hold up song books, try to get by it. I did it maybe once or twice, but after that, I didn't do it anymore. But it's important that we follow along in the pulpit. That way, we can kind of double check and see what's going on and make sure that what's coming at the pulpit is what thus said the Lord. Now, as Christians, our mindset, we're going to have to prepare to endure some hardships. And everybody have their own story. Everybody have the hardship that they've been through. But John 15:18 reminds me that if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. And like Brother Royce was saying earlier, they're not rejecting us. They're rejecting the word of God. First Peter. Can a brother give me First Peter chapter four, verses 12 through 19. Let us not be ashamed when we face persecutions. Let us not get weary in well-doing. We're going to go through things on this life. We're going to go through trials and tribulations, but let us not lose faith. Let us stay on that path of righteousness. Let us not lose our hope whenever it comes to that. We'll turn over to Romans chapter, anybody have something? Am I hearing something? Maybe I am. Romans chapter 8. We'll look at verses 35 and following. Romans chapter 8, verses 35 and following. And it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are called, we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What an amazing passage. And when I think about that passage, I always go back to whenever Avery was born. I always go back and I reflect on when Avery was born. If you don't know, she was a twin, and we lost our son on April 27th. And I go and we go and she's that evening, she's happy. She felt a little pain, so we took her in and we're in there cutting up, having a good time. And then the doctor comes and say, you only have one heartbeat. At that moment, life changed. It was different for us. Now we go and Avery comes out. She's okay. Braden comes out, my son, and he's over there at the operating table, and I look at my wife's face, and she just, can you go check? I'll go check. So they're working on him, trying to get him back. They said, there's nothing we could do. So I go back over, and I tell her that he's gone. When we get back into the room, now I have Avery, and I have a son that's deceased. The emotions was everywhere. The feelings was crazy. But then you had my minister, he called me. He called and he said, you know he's okay, right? You know he's all right. I needed to hear those words at that time because I had a lot of stuff going through my head, like why? Why did this have to happen to me? And we know we're not supposed to question God, but at that split moment, I had a weak moment. Had a weak moment. Didn't know the future. Didn't know what God had in store for me in the future. So I fast forward 6 years and I'm calling my wife to see if she liked Nutella ice cream from Lady Scoop. And she's in the restroom crying. I'm like, why are you crying? Why are you so emotional? Like, what is going on with you? And she has a test and it's positive. I said, oh, great. Okay, so I'm trying to process all this whole thing, and of course, Lord and behold, it's a son, Brett Jackson. Now we got Jackson, and I don't know what made us do it, but whenever Braden passed away, we kept all of his clothes, and we moved from house to house, and I would look at it every now and then, I'm like, we need to get rid of these clothes. I don't know why we're having them, but Lord and behold, Jackson went home in Braden's outfit. Amazing how God works. Amazing how God works. And fast forward a year after that, Crystal's best friend lost her child. Lost her child to the same babysitter that Jackson went to. Guess who helped her get through that? My wife. Didn't know 6 years ago what the plan was. Fast forward, my wife was able to help her get through that. And you might have your own stories that you're reflecting right now, but you think about how gracious God is. And when it says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, death will separate us. In the world, death will separate us from God, pretty much. Because you have those that will blame God for everything. Well, why did you take my dad? Why did you take my son? Why did you take my kids? I blame you for this. It's not how it should be. Nothing should be able to separate us from the love of God. Nothing. Nothing. And let us remember that when we live our everyday lives, that nothing should be able to separate us. Now, we have a few that I want to mention about that went through hardships. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If you look over in Daniel chapter 3, verses 12 through 25, where they was not going to bow down to those gods. They was not going to worship those items. And next thing you know, Nebuchadnezzar, he throws them in a fire and he lights it seven times more and he wants to really hurt them. He wants to really do something to them, but he throws them in there. And was it three that we put in there? But we see four. Interesting. God always has our back. When we stand up and do what's right, God always have our back. He's always had his children's back. What about John the Baptist, which was beheaded for Herodias and his brother's wife when he told her, when he told them they're not lawful to have her? That cost him his life, but he stood up for what was right. He stood up for what was right. What about Stephen? Whenever he was stoned to death, he stood up and was speaking, standing up for the truth, standing up for the gospel, and that cost him his life. Paul and Jesus himself, when we stand up for the gospel, there's going to be some type of persecution. Guarantee it. Guarantee you're going to have some type of persecution. But my question is it worth it? Is it worth it to go through those persecutions? Is it worth it to have those hardships? I'm telling you that it's worth it. It better be worth it. It better be worth it for us. Now, as we continue the study of taking the hard road, how is our mindset? Do we have a right mindset to stand up for the gospel? That's going to be needed when we're on this journey. That's going to be needed when it's on this journey. A brother, give me Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Now, we can't be ashamed of the gospel. Now, we can't be ashamed of the gospel. God has given us his word, and in that word, there's power. There's power. We plant the seed and let it go, but we continue to water that seed. Continue to water it. Continue to grow. Continue to grow. And that goes for us. That goes for the world whenever we go out and spread the gospel. We have an opportunity when we go out into the world. And to be honest, now's the time for us to shine. A lot of uncertainty in the world nowadays. You hear it all the time when it comes to presidential elections. Now's our time to shine. Everybody don't know what. Put our faith in Jesus Christ. That's what we do. Matthew 16, verses 24 says, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Matthew chapter 8, verses 34 says, when he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. But I like Luke's account of it. Luke chapter 9, verses 23. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. And then there's an extra word in there that says daily and follow me. When we're to take up our cross and follow Christ, that means self gets put on the back burner. That means it's not about what Dustin wants to do. It's not about where Dustin want to go. If I'm going to be a follower of Christ, I have to take up my cross and follow him. That means on Sunday morning, Bible class, I'm here. Worship services, I'm here. Evening services, I'm here. Wednesday nights, I'm here. Anytime the doors are open for anything, I'm here. Because it's no longer about what Dustin want to do. It's no longer about what you want to do. If you're going to be a follower of Christ, we have to continue to look at that cross and bear it. We got to. Yes, sir.
So to what you just said, that goes back to the beginning of the lesson about the way the world looks at this thing. Brother Murr quoted from Alan Jackson's song versus true submission to taking up your cross and following after Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You're not dealing with the mindset in the world that has understood or ever come to true submission.
Mm-hmm.
True Savior, only Savior, the only one that can save us. But the mindset of those who are faithful is just that. It's that mindset. The submission isn't necessarily even to the eldership as much as it is to the Lord. When we follow the Lord, everything falls into place. And you want to be a servant, even when you don't feel like it. Just know that that's the right thing to do. So I appreciate that.
Yes, sir.
Even when you don't know the effect that you've had, even if you're not seeing any of the aftermath of that, have faith knowing that it was all still in God's plan and that there is a reason for whatever purpose.
For sure. And that's why it's important for us to be here. It's important for us to be here just because when I'm here and I see other Christians of like-minded, that gives me encouragement, because I know we're all rowing the same way. We're all pushing the same way. We're all going down that same road and the same path. And I know we have our faults and we have our struggles, but when we come here, we can lean on each other. We can't lean on things out there in the world, let me tell you. Because leave it up to them, we can have us a good time. We can have us a good old time, don't have a care in the world. But we know that's not going to be okay at the end. Yes, sir.
The world has this mindset where as long as I can at least get, you know, maybe a Sunday, like, as long as I can go to church, like, never mind the fact that you're not going to the right church, but if I can at least get that one Sunday in, then I'm good. But this says, no, pick up your cross daily. You have to do it every single day. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, let your work be abounding in the Lord. Let your work be abounding in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Your mindset should be the bare minimum. It should be to do everything that God would have you to do.
For sure. And whenever we are, whenever we're taking up our cross and whenever we're following Jesus Christ, let us look at verses number 19, because there's an important point that I want us to cover. I know my time is winding down, but we're going to see if we can cover it. But when they deliver you up, let's go back and get 17. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak, for it is not you who speak, for the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. I look at that and I think about Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10. He told them, don't worry about what you're going to speak. Don't worry about it. It's going to be given to you. When I think about Ephesians chapter 6, and finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. I'm reading from verses 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Christ has never leaven us empty-handed. He's never forsaken us. He's never left us empty-handed. And I go back into whenever I was talking about the sheep and how confident they would be. Well, we should be very confident when we're doing what we're supposed to do, knowing that God has our back. Knowing that whenever we go out into the world and we're speaking to the world and they're rejecting us, do we get discouraged? Sometimes. Especially when we're working with somebody for a long time and they're almost there, then they're like, nah. I'm not doing that. That can be discouraging. But all we have to do is just stand. We stand. Yes, sir, Courtney.
You mentioned being hated by the world, rejoicing in the partaking of Christ's sufferings. You think about what Jesus said when he said, take up your cross daily.
Mm-hmm.
His audience were Jews. What did the cross mean? It meant nakedness. It meant revilement. It meant shame. It meant suffering. It meant cursed be any man who hangs upon a tree. You're going to be cursed for me, but you better rejoice in it.
Mm-hmm.
This is so far-fetched to the human mind. Only the mind of God could conjure such a contemplation of holiness. But yet he says, I want you to rejoice when your family hates you. I want you to rejoice when they beat you. I want you to rejoice while you're exposed, naked, and vulnerable in front of the whole world and cursed for my name's sake. You're going to rejoice for that. How many of us cry about it whenever we have somebody say something mean to us on Facebook? How many times do we tuck tail and run when it comes to a discussion concerning homosexuality in, you know, a marketplace?
Mm-hmm.
And yet we talk about this idea of carrying the cross. That cross means something so, in it literally becoming a partaker of Christ's suffering. Rejoice in that.
Mm-hmm.
How many of us say, Lord, thank you for the hardships I had. Thank you for my family hating me. Thank you for all the things that hurt me. But that's what Jesus did.
Mm-hmm.
He did it for each of us, that we might become partakers of
it. He did, and that's a very good point. Just because, and as Christians, it For some, it might take longer than others to get there, to get to that point. But we should all be there. Yes, ma'am.
I was just going to say, I've always interpreted, take up your cross daily and follow me. And I'm maybe incorrect, but as for myself, it's like, die to myself daily. I'm taking up that cross as a symbol of Christ's crucifixion, so my death daily to follow him. And that's kind of how I don't interpret
it. Yeah, I can see that.
Well, the cross is a symbol of our own death sentence in one sentence. So it is taking up our life.
Mm-hmm.
It's your life. And that's what that does refer to. Christ had his cross to bear for the sins of the world. Now we bear that same cross sacrificially in the sense that we follow him to our own death. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. But that's our circumstances. We're all uniquely handed circumstances. None of us are the same. Like you mentioned that earlier. We all have our own struggles and woes, and yet we can turn that to good or we can turn it to bad.
Mm-hmm.
How we live
by. Yes, sir.
So much of this time.
Oh, no, you're good.
We will crown ourselves here on earth. And just like what Brother Rasmus was saying, we have to wait for our crown.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to crown ourselves. We're going to lay our crown down before him.
And that's going to bring me to my closing point, which I did want to cover. We've talked about a lot of stuff just because, I mean, we're talking about taking a hard road. Is it worth it? I'm going to tell you it's worth it. But let me leave you with these words. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we'll go with verses 13. And we'll start there. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning these who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. There's going to be a great reunion that day. There are some people that have gone before us. Before me, for sure, I need to see again. I need to see again. I know you can all fill in that blank about how people have gone. Family members have left us, and we want to see them again. But not only them. We want to see our Lord and Savior. We want to see the ones that made us. We want to see God. We want to see Jesus. We want to see all of them. Paul, and I want to see them all. Because if you don't see them, you're going to see somebody else. And we definitely don't want that to go right, to go down. Anybody have any other comments? Yes, sir, Eric.
I was going to say, we thank the Father for the word that he gave to his son to build our faith up, to have that faith ready and built up like a spiritual nourishment for the coming of him. But he's going to look for that faith, and that's why we pick up a cross daily. That's what it means to me. Is also, you know, walking by faith and not by sight is already in my mind, so when I read the word, I'm building faith up and not worry about what I can't see. But I do have spiritual eyes now to see what faith is, because it's in Jesus.
For sure, and let me tell you, brother, you're a great encouragement. Let me tell you, you are a great encouragement for you to be here and the things that you do. Great encouragement for everybody. Even when you come here and you see brothers and you see members here and they're trying to work out their soul self, it's a beautiful thing to be a part of Night Domain Church of Christ. It is a beautiful thing, and I'm thankful to be amongst good men, because I don't think I would be able to got up here without seeing different brothers get up here. I'm just going to be honest with you. I see guys like Chad and Royce and Brian and Mr. I had seen up there Mr. The Brian, I guess. That's old man Brian. That's old man Braswell. But then you see guys like Victor, you see Daniel, you see Courtland, you see all these guys that come up here. And in my head, well, if they can do it, let me get up in there and do it. And you see Zach and you see Josh. You see guys like that that get up here and they do a great job. That gives everybody confidence. It gives everybody confidence. I appreciate it. And it's a good thing we can bounce ideas off each other. I think our time is up. The bell rung. Oh, well, there go my time. I survived. Thank y'all.